You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New York City After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New York City After Show.
Never underestimate a woman born and raised in New York City.
Oh, yeah.
Never underestimate your AfterBuzz TV host here in studio. We are buzzing about AfterBuzz TV's Real Housewives of New York City season, what is it, season 5, episode number 7 already. I can't believe it. We are really excited tonight because we have a special guest that's going to be calling in directly from the Real Housewives of New York City in Los Angeles. We'll be talking to Carol Raziwill, which I hope I said that somewhat eloquently because I want to say the D so badly. Anyway, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Kristen Carney, and I have some awesome co-hosts with me as usual this week. And I will start with the man to my right.
Interesting. Hi, everybody. I'm the man to her right. I'm Yerman Gur.
That's all you'll ever be.
Thank you.
And the beautiful ladies.
Hi, everyone. I'm Molly Harper, and you can follow me on Twitter at Molly Comedy. That's Molly with a Y.
Molly throwing it down. Anna?
I'm going to follow suit. I'm Anna Koppel, and you can follow me at Koppel for Mayor.
And yeah, so follow them, and me and Yerman will just follow them as well.
Follow us, or follow all of us, or...
So welcome to the show, you guys. Thanks to everyone on iTunes for listening. Again, we have a really exciting show because we're going to be getting to ask some awesome questions to our very own Carol, who we seem to praise usually on the show. So she'll hopefully...
I think we've made fun of her a few times.
Oh, yeah, we have, but we have to.
She appreciates that, though, I must say. She said she thought the show was funny mean and she loved it.
Yeah,
good.
She's funny mean, so we love it. So... We start off the episode in London, and it's just coming to an end with the bidet, which is always usually the way trips to London go, right?
Yes.
Or as Sonia called it, bidet.
Right.
She did say bidet.
Yeah.
She also said croaky, though. So.
Yeah.
Well, that's how they say it in London.
Yeah.
And actually, Luann said croquet because it sounds more elegant, and I thought to myself, is she going to say croquet because that sounds more sophisticated, or is she going to do as the Brits do and say croquette? And eventually she did say croquette, and I knew she would. You know she wants to add that little like croquet to the end.
Of course.
But now that she's in...
Because she's Frenchy.
Right, but it's like, does she want to go with the elegance, or does she want to go with the way it's supposed to be said? She seems like to default to elegance, no matter if that's the right way or the wrong way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I guess, is croquet a French word? It sounds like it.
Yes.
Sounds like it. But the Brits say
so she's probably saying
croquette.
It right, but the Brits are probably saying it wrong.
Croquette. But she wants to fit in. She's going to say it like croquette.
You're right.
Yeah. And it was kind of an uneventful trip to New York, I must say. We ended and I just said out loud, that's it? Really?
Well, you mean uneventful trip to London?
What did I say, New York?
New York, yeah.
Well, my life is uneventful, so I always just default to that. Yeah, London was a little uneventful because it seemed to end just... Well, it just ended.
Well, I mean, you know, they were going at it. That whole competition thing, I don't know what y'all knee slapped to, but I knee slapped to that.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was hilarious. Like, I did gymnastics. I had 7 kids. I had 15 kids. I think that's hilarious.
Yeah. See, one thing I think that, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again, I truly think Luann does have good intentions and that she's just trying to connect and she's awkward at it. And it was interesting because, you know, Carol seems to perceive it so like as a one up. And I think Luann's just trying to be like,
relate.
Oh, I can relate to that. But right. She's just doing it. And I think the step that she's missing is the validation. Like, say, Anna, you said that you have three siblings. And I said, I have four siblings. Well, that does sound awkward and like I'm competing with you. But if you said, I have three siblings, and I said, oh, really? That's interesting. I have four. Like, she doesn't validate anything Carol says.
Right.
And so I think that's part of why Carol, I mean, I guess we can ask her later, but I think that's why she's getting frustrated. And it was interesting because in Sonia's blog on the Bravo TV website, she said that she thought Luann was just trying to connect. She didn't think she was trying to one-up her.
I saw that too. But Molly, like you said, usually when people are trying to connect, they say, oh, yeah, I have the four siblings. Tell me about yours.
Yeah.
Let's share this. Something else that I noticed about Luann, and, you know, I've been watching Real Housewives since the first season. I have never seen Luann be emotional. And, you know, she's, you know, very much about the elegance and being proper. But I've never really seen her be happy, cry, any of those things. Not to my recollection. I mean, I could be wrong about this, but I just... So
she's very stoic.
She is. In her trying to connect, I think she just doesn't know how. She's very detached somehow, so...
She is really detached, and it's interesting because she's detached, but yet you can see who she is in a way. You know, you can kind of see in her eyes, you know, you can she has a defined personality, which is that she doesn't really have a personality. That's almost like the definition of her in a way. And I look at it as a little bit of an insecurity, mm-hmm. But I also look at it just like that as well. You know, I think she's trying to connect. Like you said last week, she's trying to be like the mom hanging out mm-hmm. with the kids. And it's like a little bit strange. It doesn't come across easy breezy like the way she wants it to.
Yeah.
Well, can you have your cake and eat it too? Can you decide you want to relate to people and at the same time in your actions prove otherwise every single time out of the gate? I mean, if you really want to relate to someone, why do you insist on constantly talking about what's going on your side? Or do you constantly impose the countess etiquette thing? Why do you constantly make yourself out to be someone who comes from someplace different, who was brought up differently, who acts differently, thinks differently? At one point, if you want to relate, you probably have to just, you know, try to relate.
Well, again, that's a good point.
That's what I mean. It's almost like, in a sense, she doesn't really have a personality, so she has to cling to how she defines herself. And I think that comes out in ways where it seems braggy, but that's just because I don't think she has anything else to add to the conversation, to be honest with you.
Well, and right, like with the whole class with the Countess thing, I feel like when she's offering this information, she's like, this is what I have to offer. I'm teaching you something, and like that's a good thing. Like she's proving herself that she has something to offer people.
Uh-huh.
But it comes off really condescending and like, don't correct me. That's, you know, you're my friend. Don't tell me that I'm eating with the wrong fork or, you know. But I think it really is just an attempt to validate herself.
Huh.
So. I definitely agree. I agree. But I'm glad she went on the trip. It is interesting because I think Ramona's issues with everyone are now going to be kind of shrunk down, ironically. Ramona wasn't invited because Ramona is the glowing wart of the women right now, you know. And because she didn't go to New York, I think we're going to see, you know, these problems develop with other women. So it will really take that burden off of Ramona's shoulders to be the bad guy. Mm-hmm. Because I think Carol and Luann could develop something. And I think Heather could develop something with someone else. I don't see it just sticking on Ramona now. They seemed like they had tension in London, regardless that like they didn't yell at each other. But there was tension, like when Heather was trying to explain to Luann very subtly that, you know, isn't that weird how women do this? Which I thought was a horrible tactic on Heather's part.
Yeah.
It was very subtle. It was too subtle. I don't think it was really Luann's fault that she didn't see it. Because Heather's being so smiley and so nice. And why would Luann think that this woman is telling me what's wrong with me while she's smiling at my face?
And the other thing is that Heather was like, well, you know, Carol should have just been honest with her about how she felt. Well, if that's how you feel, Heather, then why don't you say, hey, Luann, I've got to be honest with you.
Right.
Some of the women feel this way about you.
Right.
Instead of beating around the bush. Again, phony Heather being passive aggressive.
Right, right.
Honestly, I'm just glad Luann went on the trip so she could get herself a cape. Because now... her and Carol can wear their capes together in New York. Yay!
I mean, it was so obvious, the copying.
Come on. Unbelievable.
It was really, and Carol still, I think,
handled it well. I know maybe Anna might disagree slightly with, you know, her insinuating of, you know, the way she was mocking a little bit, which I think was, you know, slightly immature. But the way Carol handled it when, like, Luann walked in and to her room when she was sleeping and she's like, oh, I'm going to shower. And Luann's like, you don't have time to shower. And, you know, Carol could say, F you, lady. I'm a grown woman. I'm going to shower if I want to. But instead, Carol said, a bath?
Yeah.
And Luann faded out as they kind of cut. But she said, you think you have, you know, you think a bath is slower than a shower? You know, and, and Carol just went along with it and just threw on her gown and got out the door. So in that sense, I think she was handling it well enough. And I think it has to bubble to the surface for someone like Carol with big opinions that she's got to get it out somehow. It's like this lava is now starting to like seep out of the cracks because, you know, Luann was pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely something dangerous. I mean, with a journalist, they take down all the facts, right? And then they just throw it all into this article that exposes everything. And that's what I kind of see like could be happening with Carol. She's just taking down notes on everything. And she's just going to all of a sudden, not necessarily in an article, but obviously like at some point, all this information is going to come back. And it may not be the prettiest scene there.
Yeah.
Well, on her blog, I mean, her blog this week was 7 pages and the other women were 3. So it's like she's taking notes.
Yeah, she's
writing it all down.
Yeah,
but the other thing that she finds irritating is that, well, first of all, she didn't get to wash her hair the whole time that she was in London. She said it was like greasy the whole time.
Carol?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, the scene where they're at dinner with Heather and how she had it kind of pinned back in an awkward hairstyle. She's like, I was basically hiding grease.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate it because sometimes I go days without washing my hair. So sure. I relate to that. But she also said that, you know, Luann is constantly like, oh, we must have grown up in the same circles. We're both, you know, royals and everything. But Carol so clearly is trying to identify herself as like, I don't behave like a princess. That's not my identity isn't high. The princess is here. She's trying to, you know, define herself as an artsy, cool, independent woman who married into wealth. But, you know,
it's part of who she is, not exactly what she's about.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of, she just texted. She'll be calling in 10 minutes.
Okay. Well, that's excellent. So she'll get to answer all these questions we have here. Actually, on that note, why don't you guys go to AfterBuzzTV.com and click the Amazon logo and buy something right now.
Yes.
Usually I'm not that forward about it, but hey,
do it.
You got a couple minutes till Carol calls. Just click on that Amazon logo. Go ahead and buy your product on Amazon through our website, and we get a little bit of the goods, which is good for us and good for you guys because then we bring you more shows. And while you're at it, tell your friends about us on iTunes and download the new iTunes app, which is free and cool, and you can subscribe to all your favorite podcasts right in your iTunes app, so it's all organized. So I'm sure because your house isn't, this will help you stay a little bit sane in your brain by having your podcasts organized. So go do that too. Yeah. So leaving London, we get back, and Sonia is now exiting the car looking fabulous until they zoom in, and I was like, oh my God, Sonia looks really tired.
Sonia was a hot mess in this entire episode.
Like, no, take out the hot, it's just mess.
A disaster even, maybe.
Yeah.
Just start to finish. And I usually love Sonia. I think she's fabulous. Not like I hate her now, but she was just, I mean, it was shocking to me. What is going on with you?
Yeah, yeah. Well, she was supposed to be planning this party. We saw Ramona kind of carrying her weight a little bit back in New York, planning this party for Aviva's 5th anniversary with her husband, which, I don't know, I'm from the school of thought where, like, it's 5 years, you know. Maybe wait till 10.
Big deal.
Yeah, we get it. Like, it's not that exciting.
It's New York. Everyone's married. Right. At least a couple times for 5 years.
You're on
right?
The Housewives. I would assume you'd be married.
At least a couple times at 5 years apiece.
Right.
Exactly. Well, it's both of their second marriages.
Yeah, that's true.
But, well, I think that when Sonia stepped out of the car to go take care of the party planning, she looked like she wanted to wait tables at the party. What was that outfit? That black and white?
Yeah.
Like, hideous.
She looked like the bartender.
Yeah.
She had in the
she looked like she was going to go serve the party.
Yeah.
Sonia does crack me up. She was wearing in the dinner scene in London before they left. She looked like Clockwork Orange,
right.
But then she said Clockwork Orange, and I didn't know if she was referring to herself.
No, there was a drink that was called.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, you can't say like booger and then have one in your nose. You know? It's the same kind of thing.
And I also love she was trying to do the burlesque with the gloves, but they were leather, and so they snap. I mean, I don't know.
Would any of you want to be her intern? I'm just curious.
No.
Do any of her interns look like they're having a good time? Like they're learning a lot? Like this is the best experience ever? Because that girl was like, your phone is in your hand. It's in your purse.
They look like a horse that is like got the things in the mouth.
Yeah, this lathering they call it,
I think. She's pulling on their heads. And they're like, but they have to keep going.
They're like personal assistants.
Yeah, for free.
But they're more like slaves. Yeah.
They're slavey.
I'm just wondering if like they generally tend to be young girls. I'm just wondering if this would be like a fun job.
No, I mean, probably would be one of those things like, God, I'm going to be Sonia's assistant. Oh, my God, I get to go to New York. Oh, my God, I'm Sonia's assistant. This is horrible.
Like, oh, my God, we don't even have a home office. We have to work out of her bedroom.
Okay, right. We get to go to exotic locations. Oh, wait, the Empire Room. Right. I mean, I'm sure it's very lovely in there, but it's like when they cleared it out, it just looked like
looked like a Hilton hotel.
The carpet was...
It was hideous.
The carpet was interesting.
The carpet was bad. But I thought maybe it would be transformed after we saw it in that first scene.
Yeah.
And Sonia's like, see, I did it.
Yeah.
What did you do? She put a couple of centerpieces on those three individual small tables, those yellow flowers.
Right. And she didn't have
And yellows are for friendship, not...
Yeah.
Heather was also just like, I don't understand. There's no food here. There's no forks. What's that all about?
Yeah.
And there was a cake with no forks or napkins. That's a problem. No
food. Well, that's also, I mean, the restaurant, too. Like, the Empire State Building, like, if your event planner is lagging, pick up the slack.
Yeah.
You know, you guys are the place to be.
Yeah.
But I feel like Sonia and the city is officially out of business after that. Who is going to go to that after seeing that?
Well, it's so funny.
We haven't even talked about the band yet.
She defends herself so much on her website. And Aviva defended her, too. She was like, you know, you don't know until
Aviva's
you try.
Aviva's nice.
Yeah, it's like, come on. She failed.
Yeah.
She failed miserably. She should give it up.
Aviva took a risk letting her do it.
Yeah.
I thought she would have when Sonia's over in London, I thought she would have said, you know what, Sonia, maybe the next party you can do. You know, maybe that one would be more appropriate because you're not here to do anything. I would start getting a little antsy, and I'm a pushover. And even I would be like, all right, you know, I think I'm going to find someone else. Because you can't be working with all these ladies in London right now.
Yeah,
right.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I think Sonia and the city has to seriously reevaluate its business model when they hire Carol Queechy.
Kara Queechy.
Is it Kara or Carol?
It's Kara.
Whatever the heck her name was, that was the worst idea in the history of first-time party planning.
It
was
Sonia and the city is like the equivalent of like Sex and the City's second movie. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just not there.
God. It's awful. But the exciting thing is,
what was that performer all about?
The good thing is, you guys, next week we're having Aviva on, and she can talk about the party with us.
Please
I'm dying to ask
and
her
talk
about.
Talk to us about that out of tune young lady who probably thought it was like the big break of her life,
right.
And she just got up there. I was like, young lady, you're out of tune.
It was like the opposite kind of break.
We can barely hear you. Mic test.
Oh my gosh! When Sonia started screaming at them during the middle of their performance about their sound not working, it was like that should be. You know, I don't. Okay.
Sonia was getting mad at them, but it's like, Sonia, you should have taken care of this.
That's your job, not to say make it public. Isn't the event planner the one who takes care of things behind the scenes?
Right. She should have been in the back, like, dressed in scrubs or something.
Right.
And nobody should have cared about her.
Plugging RCA cables into different things, going, is this the cable?
And then and somebody said, well, not everybody showed up for the test. First of all, why not? And that's something else that she should have been on top
of. Don't say that out loud either.
Right. Yeah. And she said, well, I was here. It doesn't matter. I was here at 4. Well,
you're not running sound.
And clearly it hasn't been taken care of.
Right. She just had to prove that she thought she did her part.
Right. Yeah.
And again, this is all said with love because I think all of us really like Sonia. In a way, because she's just fun kooky.
She's fun kooky. She's a horrible planner.
Right. Like, horrible. She's the type of woman that I would want to babysit my kids so that they could be like, oh, she's fun, but I'm glad my mom's not like that.
Right.
Or something. You know? Like, it's good for a few minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
And Aviva did, we can talk about her next week dealing with it, but she did say she had a really good face on for that. But before, because I know Carol's going to be calling shortly, we talk about anything else, I do want to talk about Aviva's fall, because this episode is called The Good Trip, Bad Fall.
Yeah.
I never get offended at anything. Nothing. Right. At all. However, when they kept showing the scenes, the scene of her and the previews of her falling, it was kind of like showing someone with a full disability.
Making fun of a disability.
It was making fun of them in a way. And I thought once it happened and she dealt with it well and laughed about it, I thought it was funny. But to kind of exploit the fact that a lady with one leg just fell,
yeah,
it was very uncomfortable seeing those previews.
It was also uncomfortable when her husband said something about falling in a speech.
Oh, he said, when you fall, I hurt.
When you fall, I hurt.
It was like, it's like, come
he's
on.
He's like, I'm your phantom leg.
Yeah, let's act like the fall didn't happen. Right. You know, you don't want to call it out. I mean,
but
I know he meant
cute.
Fall in
it
another in another way. He was making an analogy, but it was
I thought he was trying to go with like the enricher, you know, for richer or for poorer.
He was.
If you say, when you fall, I fall with you, you should also follow that with, when you rise, I rise with you. So that everyone's like, okay, good. We're on an up note. Right, excellent. Right. When you fall, we all hate each other. And then all of a sudden it's like, end of speech. And people are like, that's a little uncomfortable.
And then, but you know what? It was funny because he got mad that Carol said, you know, that Aviva called out Carol for writing it. But
awkward.
He should have been like, yeah, Carol wrote it. Carol wrote it.
Why would you
I just said something about my wife falling.
Bus.
Well, yeah.
It's like, let her be a ghostwriter.
I don't know why Carol told Aviva in the first place. But
yeah,
it was certainly wrong of Aviva to say to everybody in the room, oh yeah, thanks Carol for writing my husband's speech. Like, how, way to kick your, you're supposed to love him and not throw him under the bus like that. Why?
I think Aviva loves Carol. I think it was your moment to address Carol at her anniversary party.
Yeah. She walks over to Carol. She walks over to Carol with the ring instead.
Yeah. Thank you for writing my husband's speech.
Will you wear this? I'll feel like I'm yours.
In tribute to Aviva, though, I'd like to point out that a new record, it took them, the show, the editors, and Aviva exactly 38 minutes before mentioning the one leg. Bravo. That's an all-time record for how long it took them to mention. Yes. Usually it's like 38 seconds, not 38 minutes. So, well done. Yeah. Well done.
In Aviva's defense, the editing can probably take a, you know.
Probably, yes. I mean, granted, she wasn't even in the show until the second half, but.
And, you know, that's a good point, because in the blog, in Carol's blog, she talked about how she said, it may not, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, why were you so irritated by Luann and you know, Aunt Luann one-upping her? And she said, well, what you see in a couple minutes on the show, keep in mind, was over an hour-long dinner.
Right.
And I think if we remind ourselves of that in all of these scenarios, like, then we realize, you know, why their irritation level might be higher than we would think.
Right. So the party.
Oh, hang on. So she's trying to call in.
Hey, Marissa.
Marissa, is she trying to call in?
And she said she's getting a voicemail, so we're going to fix that right now.
Oh. I'm not getting a call. Let me see what's going on. Sorry.
It's 424-256-1729, correct?
Yeah. So while they take care of that, I do want to sneak in before we talk to Carol about Heather and Ramona in their big blows. I thought I had been waiting for that. Again, it's almost like it's like that climax moment. You need it. And I like that they had a little spat, because I think the both of them have been kind of dabbling and wanting to say words to one another. But finally tonight, it happened.
Well, I think Heather said it great. She's like, you better, you know, bring it. And I thought it was like, bring it on. I was waiting for Ramona to say, it's already been brought in.
Right.
Because
right,
that's what happened.
You guys
all right, we have her.
Oh. Here we go.
Hello.
Hey, Carol. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Is this Molly?
This is Molly and Kristen and Yerman and Anna.
Hello.
Hey.
Oh, hi. I'm sorry. Anna and Molly, I'm sorry. What was the other name?
Yerman. Yerman. Yep.
And the weird name was Kristen.
Kristen.
Yes.
Are you all sitting there around the table?
We are.
Yes. Waited for your words.
Eagerly.
Oh, hi.
Hello. Thanks for calling in, Carol.
No problem at all. It's a little noisy. I'm outside of a restaurant, but I think it's cool.
Awesome. Well, we can hear you.
So, when do we go on the air?
We're on the air right now.
Oh, okay. Well,
love it. We can hear you perfectly. It's amazing. So are you here in LA?
Okay, good.
Yeah. Are you here in LA working on your TV show?
I'm here in LA working on the TV show, but also edits on the novel. And, you know, it's spending a lot of time with my dog, Margaret.
Oh, my God, that's my official name. Molly is short for Margaret.
Oh, I knew I liked you.
I know. Oh, my God. So I have a question for you. In your ideal world, who would play you in the TV show?
Oh, gosh. I'm not really good at actors. you know, I love Kristen Wiig. Obviously from SNL.
Right.
But, you know, there's this French actress that I dream about, like Charlotte Gainsbourg, her name. She's a singer and an actress, and she's so cool. And I just, like, when I think of Claire, the widow in the book, I kind of think of her. But apparently she's in her 40s and too old to play on television.
Oh.
But I would love her.
Kristen Wiig is almost 40, right?
You guys give me some suggestions.
I think Kristen Wiig is awesome.
Isn't she?
She's awesome.
She's too big, though. She's too big. I have to, you know, we're just a little show.
Well, I'm really good at faux accents. Yeah. So,
would you like to do it?
I'm totally good. No, I'm a horrible actress.
Is that terrible that I said Luann had a faux British accent?
Oh my God, we loved it.
If by terrible you mean awesome, then yes.
Yeah, Carol. This is Anna. Hi. And
I'm sorry.
This is Anna. Hi.
Hi, Anna.
Hi. So, yeah, speaking of Luann, this last episode, you know, you've always been like cool Carol, totally laid back. And you seem to take everything as being very comedic. But Luann seemed to really get to you this last episode. And I'm just kind of wondering where your relationship is with her now, today.
With her now today. You know, we went to London some time ago.
Right.
When we filmed that. And I was just getting to know her. We've only been filming about a month or so. I would say out of all the women, I still probably know her the least. I'm not quite, I didn't quite get to know her like I got to know all the other women.
Was there a reason? Did you choose to kind of keep distance?
No. Not really, honestly, no. I mean, as you saw from the episode, there are certain personality quirks that she has and conversation skills that were grating on my nerves in London.
Right.
And I think I was just being humorous and trying to point them out to her. And I could have probably been more direct, but it's sort of more fun to play than to have a sit down, you know, the next day at lunch and say, you know, I have an issue with you. Really, not an issue between me and Luann. It's just something I noticed about the way she has conversations. But other than that, she's nice. We've been out to dinner a few times since we've stopped filming. But I don't know. I'm much closer with the new girls.
I have a question about one of the new girls in particular who drives me crazy.
Yeah, who's this? Is this Molly?
This is Molly again. I want to know what you think of the way Heather talks. All the, hey, girl, hello. Do you not find that irritating? I mean, you're so cool. We would assume you would find that annoying.
I didn't know. You know, when the very first time I met Heather, she said, she called me Boo. And you know, I don't know, I thought, I was like, oh wow, okay. it really doesn't, because I think she's I think that's sort of a character. I think she's like inside, she's like channeling James Brown or something, and I just thought of it as like it is a little quirk in her personality, but I just found it kind of endearing almost. And she called me Radzi Raz and Mama Raz and Mama Bear, and I started calling her Mama Bear. I mean, I don't know where that came from. I've never called anyone Mama Bear in my entire life.
That's funny. So she behaves that way off camera. So that's good to know.
It's not that. Yeah, and she says "holla" too off camera.
Lovely.
She really is. I mean, maybe, you know, for better or worse, she does talk like that. She's very she grew up going to rock concerts, and she's very musical, and she's, you know, she has a background, you know, she worked with a lot of hip hop artists and their fashion lines, and that's not just something she's, honestly, I promise you, it's not something she's just doing for on the show.
Okay. What do you think that
does that make you feel a little better about that, Molly?
It's just good to know. We'll just leave it at that.
We know that Ramona thinks Heather is pretty disingenuous. Do you feel the same way? Do you see it the way Ramona sees it at all? Can you see Ramona's perspective and why she would think that?
Yeah, I honestly don't think Heather was being disingenuous. You're talking about not inviting her to London. I think there was a steep learning curve in the beginning when we first started the film, and that London trip, the talk about the London trip came pretty early on. And I think we all sort of adjusted to the presence of cameras in different ways. And Heather and Ramona definitely did not click from the beginning. And I think because they both talk a lot, they were having trouble communicating. But I don't think she wasn't really being phony. I think she really felt like Ramona would not. She would not have a good time if Ramona was with us in London. And the thing that, you know, I don't see all those scenes that they're filming all the time, only the ones that I'm in, obviously. So I hear about them after the fact. So for me, watching the show, the fun of it is seeing all these scenes, like, for instance, with Heather and Ramona when they had that sit-down, and Ramona was trying to get the invite to London, and Heather was playing on her BlackBerry. You know, I'd heard about that, but never quite saw it. It didn't occur to me that Heather not only didn't invite her to London, but she didn't invite her, and she didn't tell her she wasn't inviting her. So I could see, like, when Ramona got to Sonia's party, she was quite overserved at that party. But she also, I could see that's why she was very upset, because not only was she not being invited, but she wasn't being disinvited either. Heather was just not saying anything to her. I didn't agree with it. I think, you know, you should just invite everyone and, you know, hope that some people just can't come in the end.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like you have to invite all your cousins to the wedding, but, you know, you just kind of fingers crossed that some of them aren't going to make it.
Yeah. Or don't bring dates, at least.
Yeah. All my cousins showed up to my wedding, FYI.
Did you have any preconceived notions going into this season, knowing that, you know, the show had already been on air and you knew that Ramona was going to be there and Luann and Sonia? Did you think, oh no, Ramona, or oh no, Luann?
Yeah. I thought I didn't really have any impression of Luann. I mean, I thought it was an affectation that she had allowed people to call her Countess, and or, I mean, she didn't allow, but she people called her Countess, and she didn't seem to be bothered by that at all.
I thought that was a little strange.
But I didn't have any preconceived notions about her. Ramona, I thought, would just really drive me crazy. I couldn't imagine not having to do scenes with her or developing any sort of friendship with her, because she tends to lead with her emotions and sometimes follows it up with logic, or sometimes regret, or sometimes neither. But
I think she leads with her eyebrows. I think she leads with her eyebrows.
Her eyes.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, the big secret is her eyes don't look like that in real life. There's something that happens with the camera
that's even creepier.
Yeah. Now I'm really scared.
I promise you. But I ended up, I approached it very open-mindedly. I went in, like I would meeting anyone new, you know, for the first time, and just kind of seeing what happened and navigating new friendships. And then I ended up getting a kick out of Ramona. I thought she was, you know, she could be a nutcake, but, you know, I think as a writer, you know, I'm attracted to characters. I feel like the crazier the women acted, the more attracted to them I was. So
then you would love Sonia.
I'm sticking close to Ramona. Yeah. She's where all the drama is.
Yeah.
So, Carol, it's Yerman. I wanted to change gears just a little bit here. Inquiring minds really want to know, and most of them are men. Most of them are men. Who does your hair?
They're gay men. Who does your hair?
Who does my hair?
Who does your hair? Your hair looks fabulous. Even when you put it like in a ponytail, you're like, I haven't been able to shower. I need to do something. It still looks good. I'm just saying.
Oh, no, man. My hair, I mean, I did not I washed my hair on Monday. We left Monday night for London, and I did not. By the end of London, which was Thursday night at that dinner when I was wearing the yellow dress, my hair was in that side part. Oh, man. It was just as dirty as it could be. It was baby powder and a side part, and just trying to prop it up there. I do my hair. And during those confessionals where we're encouraged to talk behind each other's back, this wonderful, amazing makeup artist, Jim Crawford, does my hair and my makeup. He's amazing. Takes a village. There's a few other people that help out too, but mainly him.
Well, we're going to get into real particulars on your hair right now.
really?
Yes, because when
I think my hair, sometimes I look at it, it looks like shit.
No,
like
it's like in the
beginning, you guys are forgetting in episode one, it was crazy. There was one time I showed up at the interview and I tend not to have dirty hair, although the London thing notwithstanding, but in the second episode, I showed up to an interview and I just haven't washed it in a couple of days, but I thought it's okay because Jim always has a curling iron with him. And but his curling iron he left in the cab, so he didn't have anything. So we had this like flat iron, so we tried to make curls with the flat iron. And if you go back, it just looks crazy.
We'll make sure to look.
Well, what I'm about to ask is, I always, when I look at your hair, I'm like, I'm going to take a screenshot of Carol and bring it to my hairstylist because I want that kind of like 70s tousled look. What do you say when you get your hair cut? How do you describe what you want?
Like, that's exactly what I say.
That's what I
say. I
want
to see Nick's 70s tousled look.
Yeah, well, you...
That's
amazing.
Well, that's exactly how it looks. So your hairstylist is doing an awesome job. I do want to ask a quick question that I feel like I would have gotten an A+ in English class for asking. If you were still doing journalism and you were to write like a story on The Real Housewives, what would be your angle?
You mean writing it as an outsider, looking at it?
Yeah, if you weren't on the show.
You know what, I think like, I mean, like all journalists, I mean, we're attracted to the spectacle of it. I mean, it's whether it's the spectacle of war or politics or pop culture, I think, I can't say I was an avid watcher of all these reality shows before, but you can't underestimate the power of these shows and the way that it sort of captured the country's attention. I would look at it more like not a reality show. It's basically what's become, it's not reality like Real World that MTV in the 80s was, or Big Brother, where there's cameras 24/7 mounted in your bathrooms and bedrooms. But it's unscripted television. So I would probably be interested in doing a piece that's the rise of unscripted television and the fall of scripted television. Mm-hmm. I think there's something to be done about that, and the fact that all these unscripted shows are on the air now, it really raises the bar, and maybe not lowers it. It raises the bar because now, I mean, I have some experience now with scripted show that I'm trying to sell. You know, it's no longer just good enough to come with an okay script. You've got to really kill it. And right now what we're seeing, I think, on television and cable especially, are a lot of really, really well-written scripted shows, like Breaking Bad, like Mad Men, like all these shows. So I feel like because there's something called unscripted reality, it's making our entertainment that we're watching, it's actually raising the bar.
Absolutely.
What do you think of that?
Absolutely.
What do you think of that theory?
I want to ask a really deep question as well. It's Molly here again. And following Kristen's super intellectual conversation with you, I want to know, remember that Israeli guy you went out with that said he was 31?
Yeah. He was Turkish.
Oh, oops. Oh, your mom's Turkish.
I am actually Turkish.
I want to ask you guys, did he look 31 to you?
No.
And I'm telling you, I am Turkish, and that Turkish man was not 31.
Or Turkish.
He wasn't Turkish.
Armenian.
Okay. No, he could definitely be.
He was Armenian.
Let me tell you, on the date, he said, I didn't end up telling him how old I was, and he didn't ask, or he didn't say what he thought, how old he thought I was, but he said 31, but then like 10 or 15 minutes later, he said he was 34.
He was lying.
He was still not 34.
Yeah, he was still older than that.
He was older than 34, I thought.
Yeah. Well, definitely. Either that or, like, they grow body hair so early.
The day did not go well. But you will see him again in, like, a few weeks. I run into him again in the most awkward, horrifying way with Miss Sonia. Thank you very much.
Nice.
Oh, exciting.
She's actually friendly with him, and that's how I met him at one of her parties, and then we went on went for drinks, and then I didn't see him again after that until I bumped into him again.
Hmm. Speaking
so
of,
I'll let your imaginations wander about what happened a month later when I saw him after not returning a few phone calls. What is it with guys? They think they blow you off because you don't return their phone call. It's like, I'm not blowing you off. I just didn't call you back.
Guys or women? That's why.
Guys. So he was like, it's like, I'm not calling you back. It doesn't mean you can call me again and try to reach me.
Right. I love it. Well, speaking of parties, I have a question. We saw a lot of Aviva's anniversary party on tonight's episode, and nobody was eating. So
nobody was what?
Eating. Nobody ate a thing.
Yeah.
And all she does is talk about her food. There was no food. Thank you. And I was curious what you thought of the whole evening, that party.
It was... We had a long discussion about the party when we were in London because to Sonia's credit, the fact that there was even any party was a miracle because it was the next day. We got back from London on Saturday, and that was Sunday. But in London, we had talked for quite some time about the decor and the tables and the matching linens and china. And so when Heather and I, we got there, we were like, what? Where's the long table? And then one, I was watching the show and I saw that Ramona and Aviva had looked at the space before, and Aviva was talking about the 3 tens.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
She's like, okay, we'll have the 3 tens. And so I said, Aviva, what happened to the 3 tens? She's just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
The party was a bit of a train wreck.
Yeah. Well, we're not even getting into the music yet because that could take a whole another episode of us talking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was, you saw our reaction.
Yeah. Yeah.
The tension was palpable. I had to walk away because I have bad anxiety and I couldn't watch it. But
how do you watch the show if you have anxiety?
Good question. I thrive off of bad tension, but I don't know. That must be the case. But
Aviva has some anxieties and she's on it. So
yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. So, Carol, thank you so much for calling. We're kind of running short on time, but if you want to call back anytime, we love you. We think you're hilarious, and your perspective always adds so much levity to the show.
Thank you, guys. Your show is a lot of fun. Well, I mean, you guys are really smart, funny, and mean, and it's all good.
Yay!
way to save that for the end. Smart, funny, mean.
That's how I
just mean.
That's how I described my haircut.
No, I respect that.
No, thank you.
I get that. It's a talent.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Carol.
All right.
Have a great dinner.
Guys.
Thanks again.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
So that was fun.
That was
I love
Carol. Having her on. She's cool.
Yeah. I want Carol to like just sit in my lap or something, and I just want to hug her.
She's so genuine.
She's a cool person.
She seems like she is the only housewife that I've seen that I would imagine is just like how she is on camera, off camera.
Right. Because like someone like Heather, where we have to kind of ask, where you specifically said, Is Heather like that off camera? And she is, but it's something that you wouldn't really predict because it just doesn't seem real. So anyway, that was really exciting.
I'm honored that she called us.
Yeah, absolutely.
We got to have a long conversation with her. And next week, you guys, we're going to be chatting with Aviva as well. So we're going to wrap it up and just get into predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, guys, have at it. What do you think is going to happen? Anybody?
Well, next week, I believe, will be the week when Aviva and Ramona begin to fall out because of their trip in Miami. Mm-hmm. And I also predict, I really wanted to talk about how I am now on Team Heather. So I'm going to try to squeeze that in as much as I can.
Go for it, yeah.
Yeah. That's an interesting perspective, because there's a lot of Heather hating going on.
Yeah. We kind of ran out of time, but I predict I will be sliding that in next week.
Yeah. So. Awesome. Yeah. Slide away.
I look forward to hearing why.
Yeah. 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 Me too.
Molly?
Predictions?
You got it.
No, I don't have any, but if we do, no.
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of was a little bit lackluster on the predictions this week as well. I think Luann gets told she's overpowering, and that was told to her by Heather, so I think Heather does step it up and does get honest with Luann. But when Heather, I think Heather blamed Sonia and said, oh, well, Sonia thinks you're overpowering because you're taller. And Luann's like, oh, that's ridiculous. But she blamed it on Sonia, whereas when they discussed it at the dinner table, Heather agreed. So I think Heather and Sonia might have an issue. Yeah. Yerman?
Well, along those lines, I actually thought something was brewing with Luann, too. Just the way she reacted to Ramona, all of a sudden they were buds, because all Ramona was trying to say was that Luann was the lesser of two evils. But Luann was, like, smiley and giggly and huggy, and then she went back and, you know, immediately confronted I forget exactly. I think it was Heather. And it's like, what the heck happened? So I think she's also going to lose her way and whose team she's on, and then people are going to lash back on her.
Okay, awesome. Well, I think we had an awesome show today. I'm excited to see if our predictions come true. You guys can follow us online, of course. You can follow me at twitter.com/KristenCarney, KristenCarney. And go to my blog, sweatthesmallstuffwithkristen.com. Yerman?
You can follow me, everybody, on Twitter at YermanGur, YermanGur. And don't forget to tune in Sunday nights at 9 p.m. for True Blood After Show, right here on AfterBuzz.
And Molly?
And you can follow me at Molly Comedy. That's Molly with a Y.
Oh, yeah. We already got to you guys.
Oh, no.
Do it again.
Go ahead. No, go.
And I am Anna Koppel. You can follow me on Twitter at Koppel for Mayor, KoppelForMayor. I'm also here Thursday nights at 6 Pacific, buzzing about anger management.
Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you, Carol,
for calling.
And again, and more importantly, even to our iTunes listeners. Thanks again.
Thank you, everybody.
See you next week.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.